Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Patima Inverted, which was a recommendation by Miku. Hello, it's been a while. And thank you very much for the recommendation, Miku. Very, very appreciate it. It was, in my humble opinion, a decent movie. But before we, you know, really dive into it, we were just kind of catching up, doing a little bit of yakking and talking about my new co-host who's with me, though you won't be able to hear her. You know, she is currently sleeping, but you know, I mean, like she may wake up and give us a little bit of a drop in. We never know. We'll find out. And then we were, you know, if you want to catch a part of that wider conversation, you could go to patreon.com/featured anime podcast. $1 a month to get you access to that bonus content and more. And if you want to help support us through other means, you can go to shop.featuredanimepodcast.com and buy yourself some swanky swag. And if you also so choose and you want to help help us grow through other means and get yourself some nice, delicious, tasty snacks, we do have a affiliate link for you in the show notes for Tokyo Treats. If you use that affiliate link and use coupon code featured anime, get $5 off that very first box, and it helps support us and helps us grow, and it is very much appreciated. And if you want to get any other information or anything like that, you can go to our website, featuredanimepodcast.com, and get all that wonderful information, contact information, and everything like that there. And now onto the meat and bro-tatoes. Patima Inverted came out in November 2013. It is a movie. Producers for it are Directions, Osmic Ace, Godsmile Company, Kodokawa. Studios for it are Studio Rika, Purple Cow, Studio Japan. It's an original, and it's an adventure and sci-fi and psychological movie with romance.
Just a hint.
Just a hint, just a smidge. And it ran for about an hour 39 minutes.
Approximately.
Yeah. Somewhere around there.
Didn't feel like it. It started real slow, and I'm not going to lie, I passed out a few times while I was watching the first, I would say 15 to 20 minutes. But after that, it caught my attention so hard that I didn't even notice that it was done until the credits started rolling. So
fair enough.
I guess that's a good thing.
So, Patima is basically the name of the main female protagonist, and she's a young woman who lives underground in civilization, boasting an incredible network of tunnels. It is inspired by a friend that mysteriously went missing. She is often reprimanded due to her constant excursions into the tunnels, more specifically the restricted areas for it. And after she enters the forbidden zone, she ends up, you know, being spotted and basically falling.
Yeah, let's call it. They're falling.
Falling in a direction. What direction? I mean, like, honestly, in this one, you could follow either direction. So, you know, it's up to you entirely. Basically, and this is her journey along with the other gentleman whose age is trying to get everything going for it.
I mean, that's a good start. That's an accurate reading of how it started. I will say that everything seems normal, at least initially, and the title doesn't become necessarily apparent until, I'd say, the first meeting. And that's when Inverted becomes very
apparent.
I don't think that I was gonna say Yeah, apparent. I was not going to say apparent. I was going to say subjective. That's the word. Because to her, everybody's upside down. To him, he's the only one that's upside down, and she's falling up.
Right. And so how they explain what actually ended up happening was Earth basically did some experiments with gravity, and as a result, people in a very large particular area ended up having everything reversed in terms of gravity. Them, how they are, how they move, how they operate, everything in terms of them are reversed. And it doesn't matter where they move in terms of the gravity. It just is, in fact, they will always forever be the exact opposite of the direction that you're expecting.
Now, I am kind of curious, why do the items react the same way?
I'm more curious about why the people react the same way, more so than the items. Everything has a gravitational pull. Everything.
Well, I just imagined, now, they didn't say this in the movie. They didn't show this anywhere. They didn't. There was no implication of it, but I suspect it has a lot to do with the obviously gravitational pull, but the alignment of their personal magnet, so to speak, because when the main boy and our girl touch hands, she's able to go outside, and he's so light that they basically cancel each other out.
It's not that they're light.
All buildings in a single bound.
Again, it's not that they're light. They say they're light, but it's because they're opposite in terms of directional pull. She's going up. He's being pulled down. She's being pulled up. Light is a relative term in that regard. You have two forces pulling each other in the opposite direction, and they're both equal in terms of weight, almost. So yes, she's
all he has to do is walk around with some bricks in his pockets and he's good.
Yeah, actually, that's it.
But yeah, so essentially what in the boys' world, you have a very uniform, very strict, very no nonsense, very, I almost want to call it militarian kind of structure, where everyone is to follow extremely strict rules, such as don't look at the sky, don't be late, be accounted for. Now, other than, in my mind, other than the first one, the other two are acceptable in my mind. Don't be late, be accountable, ideally have good grades. But it also looks like they introduced the social score to signify if you're a good or a bad person by following or not following the rules.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy and everything like that and government overseeing for at least his world, Age's world. Whereas if you have Patima, it's not really like that. It's just them trying to live and survive day-to-day lives.
I would say that Patina is more tribal than anything else. Because I feel like, whereas Topside, or our opinion of Topside, it's more militarian or militant. Would be a better way to put it, and very, very strictly and stringently organized, whereas the people down below who fall upwards, it's more of a village than it is a city, if that makes any sense. Like, you've got one chieftain kind of sort of in charge.
We don't see the whole aspect or the whole growth of the area until much later, and even then you only see a small smidget of it.
I was going to say, even then, it's minuscule.
Yeah, you don't see the whole thing. It's not like you get to... I mean, like, yes, let's pan back to the sky so you can see the whole breadth of the city. Oh, no, wait, you can't. They're underground.
Yeah.
So we don't know how large it is. We don't know how many there are.
I mean, yeah, you're right. Now, my question, my curiosity would be, in the boys' world, there's an almost religious aspect of the fear of the inverted. They're not human. They're something else. They're this, they're that, but they're not like us. And in my mind, it couldn't be further from the truth. It's essentially, they're like cousins.
Well, the thing is, and he points this out too later on in the movie. It's like the people who are afraid of him or don't look up or anything like that, or view the others as sinners, and that's what they're called. They're being pulled towards the sky because of their sins, or because they sinned, or fill in the blank. It's because they're afraid. I mean, like, and honestly, fear fuels a lot of things all the time. There's never a point in time in history where fear has not fueled something negative or barbaric. Fear has always been the fuel of it.
Makes sense, for a weird way to put it.
But well, people are afraid of change, afraid of the unknown. They're, you know, and you have people that are in a position of power to do what they can to help prevent it from happening. Things that are against the norm of their psyche, or what they feel like is not accurate or true to how it should be, you know.
I should be
to them.
Ah, okay. I was going to say, you lost me on the way it should be, because should be it, typically perspective.
Yeah. But that's why I led with for them, you know, and how it should be, you know, because I was completing the thought, because I said, you know, their perspective, how they view things and everything like that, and how it should be. I just didn't finish it, and I apologize.
I mean, yes and no, but it is unfortunate. But so I actually have a question with that. In the weird part for me is the city that was so organized seems to thrive with what seems to be hundreds of young people, right? And the city underground doesn't appear to have that many people.
Well, again, you're only seeing small aspects or small portions of it. So you're just seeing the students go to the school, which, I mean, most of the time you're going to see those anyways. But for the city and everything like that, when you're standing on the top of the large skyscraper, you see this large breadth of the city. You see a large outreach of buildings and everything like that. So you know that there's a fair number of people that are going to be there. Whereas you're underground. Where are you going to pan back to see that kind of view?
I mean, but not just that, but where is the kind of food they're eating? That could be a huge limiting factor as well.
They find, and they keep pointing out, storehouses and everything like that. They obviously know that they can go to the surface. Who's to say that they're not going up there to scavenge items or products or food stuffs or things like that? You know,
the thing that's stopping them from also, doing that is the fact that they fly into the sky.
Right. They also talked about having food and preparations and sanitations and seeds and things like that too. Talked about a little bit at the very beginning, cultivation, and they clarified it in the dubs. They specifically called out, hey, we have seeds so that way we can harvest stuff now. And it was lightly hinted at in the subs. So, I mean, like you can tell that they have their own agriculture going on.
Okay. I mean, hey, if it works, it works. I just can't see how if you get sunlight in there and whatnot.
You don't have to necessarily have sunlight if you have the right bulb.
I didn't know that. It makes sense. You got bulbs that'll give you a sunburn. You have bulbs that'll tan you. Why not have bulbs that feed plants?
And as long as you're providing them nutrients, they will be okay.
Okay, fair enough. I'm very innocent, one might say, to the ways of indoor agriculture. Or the underground agriculture, but the advancements seemed very peculiar as well. Like the guys who were underground didn't really have an advancement all that much. They I feel like they scavenged a lot from when the time that the two worlds separated from, you know, the people who sink and the people who float. So yeah, I think they just kept increasing their differences, and they used to, according to the chief, live in pseudo harmony where they could go back and forth freely, but then something happened.
Yeah, well, again, I feel like it had to do with the change of powers, right?
Okay,
because once you have that change of powers, you have the people that are more fear-mongering or scared of the change or anything like that becoming into power. And, you know, they're going to do what they can to make sure that they get what they want from it.
Yeah. it makes a weird kind of sense, but I also feel like everybody who is in power, at least topside, straight laced and all that stuff, mm-hmm. were crazy.
Right.
Either crazy to follow orders or crazy to be giving certain orders, you know?
Well, I mean, that's typically how structures like that are, you know, when it comes to people that are in those type of positions. You have a lot of people who tend to be very like-minded who are just followers.
Okay. And I mean, they do show that when there is an outlier, let's call it someone who's thinking independent or different than the masses, they're singled out and unfortunately ultimately killed. And that's what happens to the boy's dad. And he thinks that there was like a sky sickness of some kind that,
well, it was an accident, right? That he accidentally fell out. Right. And then the powers that be, who know it wasn't an accident, used it and said, oh, no, it was because of his sins. He attempted to reach to the sky and everything like that. And it was his folly. It's because he did this or that. And that's why he fell back down to the earth and died.
Yeah. There's a lot of misinformation, a lot of unknowns going on. And I feel like the first half of this movie played into the what ifs, and then like the suspense, the fear, the wonder, all that good stuff. He did a very good job of making me personally afraid of the sky, at least in this movie, you know?
Right.
And
you know, I mean, like, it does a good job of that, but at the exact same time, it lays a lot of groundwork for a lot of questions mm-hmm. that ultimately never get answered.
I was worried you might find that to be kind of not an affront, but I was worried you would find that to be in the forefront of your mind. They do have a lot of Chekhov's guns, I'll give you that. But I also feel like the answers that they didn't give weren't necessarily required.
Oh no, they're 100% required. They are 100% required.
Like what?
What the heck was with that metal structure in the sky?
Well, you're right. They never do say anything about that, but I suspect I know what it is.
Oh, I have a suspicion too, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, even if you went with a suspicion, it's in the exact opposite direction too, at the exact same time.
No, I agree what you're saying. And my initial suspicion was proven obviously invalid. I thought that this structure was essentially a Dyson sphere around the sun, getting power from the sun and providing it to all of the electronics and stuff like that. Obviously not the case.
Right. My thing was, it's like the gravity pull. So to kind of help clarify what happens, right? So as they're trying to run away and everything like that, Patima ends up getting captured by the powers that be, and they want to use her to find where everyone else is hiding so that way they can kill them. Literally, that is the whole deal. It's so that way they can kill them. And what ends up happening is, instead of dying and instead of them like being used as a sacrificial lamb or something like that, they just jump and they shoot up into the sky, and they come eventually after a long period of time. And I'm not going to go into the full details of it because we don't need to give a scene by scene play, right? Cause there. I saw you wanting to interject that we don't need a scene by scene play. They just need highlights. Yeah. Highlights.
Highlights. I agree. Here's why they rose into the sky this time where they didn't before. Somehow, some way, these people have anti-anchors.
It's not somehow, some way. If you actually paid attention to the story and you watched the movie, you would know how they have those anchors. It's not somehow, some way. And you also know what happened to her. Right. You also know where they came from, and you know what happened to Patima's friend.
Yes. Well, I mean, obviously, you know that as well. But what I'm saying is, for those people who are so against having everything dealing with the sky. They certainly have a lot to do with the sky, and they know how to restrict people, and they know how to.
It's because you have one person, and you have the study art of Aja's dad too at the exact same time. Why would you not know how to restrict your enemy if you're planning on trying to figure out where they are, take prisoners, and figure out what to do with them?
I mean, if that was the case, how come there wasn't a more concise effort? It was very, very easy to find them the second time, the third time, the fifth time, the ninth time. It didn't seem like it was all that, they weren't hiding all that hard. You know what I mean? And
to be fair, we don't know how hard they were looking for him, but we do know they were looking for him because even Izumura, the main baddie for the movie, when he finally saw that, hey, you know, we have someone that fits the description, and they were walking along the ceiling and blah, 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 blah. He's like, we finally figured out a rough area where they are. Cool. Rather than wasting tons and tons and tons of resources, who knows how many are down there and if they're armed or what's going on or anything like that. Let's just question the one person that knows, right? Let's go to this one area where we've seen them, where they've appeared on the camera, capture them, get all the information we can from them, and then we'll move forward.
That's also one other thing that kind of freaked me out. There was cameras everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere. Like, not like... In one hallway, there was a camera every like 8 feet.
Yeah. Well, when you have a high security area, why would you want to not have as much covered as possible?
And they still missed everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. So anyways, going back to it, right? Mm-hmm. When they were flying up into the sky, okay,
mm-hmm.
they eventually come to a giant metal platform with lights everywhere and steam vents and all this other stuff. Right. And my initial thought was your thing was like, oh, it was a Dyson sphere and this is what they're doing, blah, 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 blah. I have a different hypothesis now after the ending, but my initial hypothesis was it eventually just like capped out for in terms of gravity pull for where they were going. And the people that got initially pulled up with all the buildings and everything like that found a way to survive up there and created a giant living platform where they were able to continue to live. I mean, like that soon proved not the case, but you know, I mean, like it was like, yeah, that's a possibility. I mean, like you have gravity was reversed. You have Earth and everything like that, that got shot up to there, and then you have people that accidentally from down below will lose something and it shoots up into the sky or whatever. Like, why not?
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying with that, and it's definitely possible. And I mean, this was also a very pivotal moment in the movie where he ends up finding his father's lost, I want to call it a blimp, but that's not quite it. It's his flying apparatus. Mm-hmm. And it was oddly, it was kind of a sense of purpose, a sense of self, a sense of I finally have closure on his father's untimely passing.
Yeah.
And in about a 12 minute period of the movie, they answer so many of the questions that kept building up. They left a few more unanswered, obviously. But any of the questions that they were bringing up and they were like in search of, it was like a book of, hey, I have a question. Here's the answer. Hey, I have a question. There's a clear answer. And at that moment, they kind of finally saw each other as not different. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they obviously said as much, but it was interesting that they would put so much trust in one another while still looking at them, at least in a small way, as the enemy. And one thing that I found very interesting that nobody touched on is they're all superhuman, apparently, because their grip strength is second to none, which is nuts. Because well, if all you're of falling them are
out like that, I mean, like you have to understand, they're all like that. All of them. That's the grip strength,
though. Like, that shocked me.
Yeah, obviously. Duh. It's the future. Duh. Everyone's going to have massive grip strength. Why wouldn't you?
But they were holding each other by the wrists to avoid falling into the abyss, which honestly would be terrifying.
I don't need I don't need your logic, sir. I just need facts. Okay. Facts.
Well, the fact is
they have killer grip strength. I mean, like, obviously,
Kung Fu grip.
Yeah, dude, when you're prepping for, you know, getting yanked up into the sky and you just happen to stance to come across someone who's going to be getting flung up into the sky or someone that may be getting flugged down to the earth, whichever way, you're going to want to have the grip strength to be able to hold on to them. So that way you can build that connection with them and fall in love with them. If you don't, you're screwed. I'm telling
you're just not planning.
Yeah. You're not doing it right. That's obviously how you fall in love. That's obviously what you do for the future is you build up the grip strength. And then when you see the opportunity, you seize literally the opportunity to keep them from dying or,
you know, what's funny
to me? Or whatever else, you know, pick your flavor.
What's funny to me is the fact that on this, when they flew up, because she was weighed up. The only reason I think she survived is because he was holding her, slowing her ascent.
Yes.
And when they finally arrived up there, I was like, okay, so now they're going to find a land full of these people because it's complex infrastructure. And supposedly the sinners that were ejected into the sky were all highly scientific people, super smart, super capable. If somehow they were able to like land on a piece of land and survive it, they would obviously build this whole society up. And now guess what? Roles are 100% reversed. Instead of her being the outsider, he is.
Yep.
And I was like, ooh, that the duality of that. I can't wait to see what this part is. And no one showed up. And she found her backpack. And still no one showed up. And then he found his dad's flying apparatus, which crash landed onto there probably several years before.
Obviously several years before. Obviously. You know, several years before. You know that it was.
I don't know their aging process.
You know, it was several years before.
I assumed it was like 2 or 3 years. It could have been as much as 10. No, it could have been much as 8, because he was like 15 at the most.
Yeah.
So, but the fact that it was still there, untouched, unaltered, I was like, ooh, did everybody die? And then this area got hotter and hotter in the middle of the day. And, or not middle of the day, but as the morning was approaching, that's not the right word.
The point is that it was getting hotter, regardless of the time of day, it was getting hotter. Like I said, you know, it just goes back to what I was saying earlier. You don't need to give a play-by-play. You don't need to describe each scene as the sun came over the crevicing mountains and touching the, kissing the metal. You could see the steam rising up off the metal and it just got hotter and hotter and the reds and the oranges and everything like that for the 2 seconds was blistering them hot. And
I'm getting to a point, I promise.
Yeah. What's the point? What's the point?
The point is, there was nobody there. It wasn't obvious originally, but it became obvious that there was nobody there.
Yeah.
And I was thinking as the scene was unfolding, I was like, this would be a perfect spot to start playing I Found Love in a Lonely Place.
Okay, I'm down.
Because they did. And I was like, that had been so perfect and so out of left field that it would have made this into a wonderfully comedic event.
You know, what I will say, I'll tell you this right now. I did love how they played the music at a couple of points to a comedic effect.
Yeah, that's what I was going for. Well, I'm sure I said it would fit.
But what I'm saying is, like, so after Patima meets Age and he gets her to a safe place, he's walking away and they start playing this like very touching music and then it stops for her to talk. And then it continues on and it stops for her to talk again. And it does that a couple of times. It honestly threw me off. At what point in an anime have you actually ever really seen that done well?
Seldom, if ever.
Yeah. So And that's the thing, right? Like, the story was kind of meh for me, but the artwork was good. The comedic moments was actually really, really well. And the music for when it needed to be there was beautifully done. And it wasn't overplayed. It wasn't overdone for any of it. There's like, I feel like there's a lot of loopholes, a lot of questions that are left to be answered still. But at the exact same time, it's like, okay, well, I mean, it does wrap it up and you can draw your own conclusion if you want. I mean, like, given the evidence of how it ends and everything like that, you're more than likely going to be drawn towards one particular conclusion. However, for me personally, I think it was well done, well thought out, just too many holes.
No, I can see that. Now, do you think that a second movie would be warranted for this, or it wouldn't be able to do anything?
If they were going to answer the question, if they're going to do a second movie, I can see it. It'd just be hard pressed for the content.
I understand that. Yeah. And one of the things that I thought was really, really well done was the weight distribution dynamic that they had going on. You know what I mean? Where when they were connected, they walked like they were on the moon. And when something interacted with them, they weren't just immediately stationary. They moved with it. Like they didn't have a proper gravitational pull.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, like this is a movie that doesn't have a lot of substance. It doesn't have a lot of like real depth. I mean, like it has a lot of questions in there for it.
Yeah, I mean, but that's kind of the thing, that this whole movie was meant to, in my mind, it was meant to get your juices flowing.
Yeah.
You know, it was a thriller of some kind at times. And it did a very good job at drawing me in and making me believe that there was a true fear of falling into the sky.
Yes. And I do love that age when he was bringing it up, or when he talked about it, he had specifically said, like, at first I thought I understood, but then I truly understood. Like at first I thought it was going to be like this, like I understood or that I could protect you and everything like that. But then at the exact same time, like I never understood. And I'm glad that he ventured forward and openly admitted that.
You know? Do you
understand what I'm saying? Like the part I'm talking about?
No.
It's okay. It's after they get up there, right? Where he's gripping onto her for dear life, so that way he doesn't fall back down to the earth.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
That's part of the personal growth that happens while they're up there. Is he specifically says, I didn't understand until how terrifying it was for you until it was reversed. The situations were reversed.
Yeah. And yeah, you're right. But his whole, for me, it was expected because his whole persona thing was about being about growth, about change, about going against the norm, so to speak.
Yeah.
Not necessarily on purpose, but because he was simply inquisitive. And in this world, asking questions is bad, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, because obviously you're not supposed to ask questions, right? You're just supposed to be a worker drone and just do what you're told and never question anything.
Until you reach a certain level when you can make the answers for the questions that were never asked.
Yeah, I don't need your logic, sir. I don't need reality. I don't need facts.
Well, all right. So before we finish, there's one thing that bothered me above everything else. And that was the fact that in his independent score, which dropped to an abysmal 16, and you know it's abysmal because they labeled it in red, it was mentioned that his mistakes will be representative on the school as an entirety, as a black mark on the entire school, and it will be looked down upon, giving me the idea that there's multiple schools.
Well, yeah. There's
multiple, but obviously, multiple facilities that are competing, so to speak. And the fact that one bad student would blemish the entire thing.
I mean, when you have a giant, massive city, it only makes sense that there is one middle school facility, obviously.
Yeah, but like you said before, there you don't see enough people to justify it.
I didn't say you didn't see enough people to justify it. I said, you know that there's a lot of people there because they pan out and show the city. So you know that there's going to be a lot of people there. You can't pan out and show the people underground. I said nothing about justification.
Oh, okay. So I mixed that part up then.
Yeah, because you were saying, oh, there's all, you know, there's it's a small community underground. It's like, yeah, what are they going to do? Pan back into dirt? Mm-hmm. Let's pull back here. What do you see? Dirt. Obviously. That's such a beautiful city. It's so massive and large underground. So extensive.
Well, no, my reasoning for that was when everyone showed up for her funeral and she showed back up like, hey, I'm not dead.
Again, everyone showed up there. It's just going to be the group of people that know her. Like, would you go to someone? Would you go to someone's random funeral that you didn't know, like in the neighborhood that you're in? I barely am on speaking. I'm barely on saying hi terms with my neighbors. I'm not going to go to the funeral. They died.
I get that.
Oh, I haven't seen so and so for the last like 6 months. What happened? He died. Oh,
she was an important figure
to only a couple of people. Not
to the village. Apparently she was the daughter of the last leader.
Eh. Doesn't matter. It doesn't mean again. Are you going to go to the president's daughter's funeral if she dies?
Well, no, because there's 300 million people here.
Okay. Let me, if there weren't 300 million people, would you still go?
If there weren't and I knew them, like I had actually a physical connection. Probably at least more than 20 people would show up.
Okay. I wouldn't go.
There's work to be done.
There's work to be done.
Oh man.
Look, I will go if there's very few people that I would go to a funeral for. All right. Family members for sure. Very close, very close and dear and personal friends, like people that I knew intimately. All right. I would go. Other than that, I ain't going.
Other than that, it's time to work.
yeah. I mean, like I have taken people to a funeral and it's always awkward for me because I don't want to be there.
Yeah. No one ever wants to be there.
Right. No, it's not that it's not that it's like, oh, I don't want to be there because, you know, whatever. No, it's like, I don't want to be here because I think this is dumb and I don't know the guy and I don't care that he died. As cold as that sounds, that's why I don't want to be there.
You're not wrong, though.
Okay.
As cold as it sounds, like at the end of the day, it doesn't affect you all that much.
No, it doesn't. So, again, the number of people showing up doesn't mean anything.
I don't know. See, I viewed her as a princess of sorts, and the only princess I ever knew that passed away, Princess Di. You
proved my point, though. Like, no, I wouldn't show up because already all those other people are going to show up. Yeah. So you wouldn't show up.
Princess Di. A bunch of people didn't know her personally, but she got a massive turnout.
Yeah, but not everyone showed up.
You're right. I don't want to Google.
Not everyone showed up,
but no, not everybody showed up, but a substantial amount of the population did. I imagine. Does it
matter? How many people are you going to be able to get on a little rinky-dink freaking platform? Let's start with that. Are you going to fit an entire population on there? No. Are you going to see everyone that's all the way back into the tunnels hiding and everything like that? No. All right. So let's go with, did everyone show up? Probably not. Are they going to show everyone? No, they're not.
Here's what I'll say. I'll give you that because it just occurred to me that they were in the danger zone when they got her plaque.
Yes.
So yeah, not everybody was allowed in the danger zone.
Not everyone would be willing to go to the danger zone even if they were allowed.
Fair enough. Because
it's the danger zone.
Oh, man.
Anyways, I don't have much more to say on it, on the whole matter, so.
Unfortunately, neither do I.
So. On a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
Given the fact the music, I agree with you, was really well done. Then, and honestly, they had some amazing wide shots, and the animation was fairly consistent. I'm going to go with an 8. I know you're not, because there was a bunch of questions and whatnot, but I'm giving it an 8, and I encourage you all to watch it. Not everything is what it seems, and I really like that.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. For me, I am going to go with 7. It was good. The animation was good. Music was really, really well done. The story was all right. There's a lot of holes in it, a lot of plot holes in it, a lot of questions that have yet to be answered that will never be answered. And I've come to terms with that. But it kind of, you know, I mean, like, it's still definitely worth the watch, and it is a good watch. That is for sure. So, yeah, that's all we got. Next week's choice, it is going to be Suzume. It is a movie, and it's a fairly new movie, and that's all I really know about it. I've seen commercials for it, I've seen trailers for it. That's about it. That's the extent of my knowledge. We'll figure the rest out later on.
To be determined.
Right. So if you feel like we got something right, something wrong, did it too much justice, not enough justice, or anything like that, feel free to let us know. You can reach out to us. All our contact information is available on our website at featuredanimepodcast.com. If you like what we do and you want to help support us, help us grow, you can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 a month will help us, and you'll get access to bonus content such as our pre and post show that we usually put out with every episode. And sometimes we get pretty crazy. Sometimes we keep it pretty mellow and chill. I mean, like, the only one way for you to find out is to join us. And if you want to get yourself some nice, delicious, tasty treats, don't forget about Tokyo Treats. We have an affiliate link for you in the show notes. And if you use Featured Anime for the coupon code when you check out, you get $5 off that very first box. And trust me, the treats are delicious, and they are oh so worth it. So don't forget about that. And if you want to buy yourself some swanky swag, you can also do that at shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick. And we'll see you on the flip side.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.